In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's that time again, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Crystal Palace are set to sign a new manager and Spurs have written to football. It's Friday 16th of Feb. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Welcome, one and all. It's Friday, boys.
Yes.
Swing your lapels around, Peter.
Yeah, I just don't like that laugh. It's a like you're going to get up to something. I don't like it.
Stick around, brother.
Stick around, brother.
Mm-hmm. Andy, get off your phone.
He's just texting.
Honestly,
some
the
friends.
Youth of today.
Would you do this on deadline day?
He's playing Flappy.
On you.
He's playing Flappy Birds. He's looking at the
actually,
running
that would
order.
Be appropriate because maybe you'd be getting some transfer gossip, but not here.
Look, actually, I don't want to boast, but of course,
it's not even my best phone.
No, I think it's important to keep up to date with all the press conference stuff that happens on a Friday,
especially
with so much stuff either happening or just about to happen.
Well, you nip off, hand if you want. Yeah. I'm sure the listeners won't mind.
Sorry we've interrupted your professionalism.
Yeah.
Andy, have you listened to this show? That might be important to other shows you do, but not this one.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. If that was like a list of Bob Monkhouse's jokes from 1993, yes, count us in. We're interested.
It's also very disrespectful to the group of people that we pass every Friday morning in the studio who chant, "We're only here for the Brassel."
Yeah.
So there we are. Right, Crystal Palace. They have confirmed that Roy Hodgson is in a stable condition in hospital after he was taken ill during training on Thursday morning, which is the most important news, I think, we can all agree, coming out of Crystal Palace. They'd cancelled his scheduled press conference as a result, of course. Now, this followed widespread reports that Hodgson was about to be sacked and replaced by former manager of Eintracht Frankfurt, Oliver Glasner. So, at the time of recording, that's the situation, unless you've got an update, Andy.
No update.
Right, okay.
From hospital or press conference.
Yes, okay.
He's still expected to step down.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the latest reports.
So it does seem that Hodgson and Palace are parting ways and that Oliver will be coming in to take over on quite a hefty wage, but, you know, it's the Premier League, baby.
It's London. Yeah. London waiting, isn't it?
That should get him a little flat, shouldn't it, Peter? One
should
bedroom
get him a
flat.
Flat. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, what do you think of this then, Andy? I mean, it's really sad, I think, that Hodgson has to leave Palace in this way, but
it's been coming.
It is sad, but few people get to pick their exit from football, do they? Mm. And it has been tough. The only reason this hasn't happened earlier is because they haven't been able to find that replacement. Now, this is the John Textor link, because he always complains. Of course, the majority shareholder of Crystal Palace, or not the majority shareholder, holds more shares than anyone else of Crystal Palace, because he's got about 40%. But he's always found it quite frustrating that he doesn't have any influence at all at Crystal Palace.
You should give people a little bit. Obviously, you've mentioned where he sits on the in terms of Crystal Palace, but he has shares in a lot of football clubs around the globe.
Yeah, he owns Lyon, Botafogo, Molenbeek in Belgium, and he tried to get Oliver Glasner to be the Lyon coach. Going
but
back to
very
autumn.
Unpopular though, especially at Botafogo.
Yeah.
Name me a popular chairman.
Popular multi-club owner.
yeah. So it's interesting.
Man City fans speaking up here.
No, but you mentioned his name, and I think, okay, here we go. What's this all about? Do you think though that he's trying to have his sort of questionable ways here, or do you think this would be a good appointment?
No, I think of all the stuff that has gone wrong at Crystal Palace, I think one of the ways in which it could have been worse is Textor could have had more influence. Mm. Like I said, he's found it very frustrating because he owns more shares than anyone else, and a guy who owns 10% is basically running the club in Steve Parish. So I think they probably have taken a bit of word from Textor, but Glasner is one of the best free agents out there. He's done a really good job at Wolfsburg, a really good job at LASK before that, and of course went and won the Europa League at Eintracht Frankfurt. So he's one of the better coaches out there.
Yeah.
He'll sort their defence out. And later down the line, he's going to really fall out with the people who buy the players.
we'll look forward to that.
Is that a regular sort of pattern?
Yes, that's his thing.
Yeah. And is he suited to this sort of firefighting job, would you say? Because let's be honest, that is what
with such a young squad as well.
Yeah.
Promising young squad, but still.
I think that's the thing really, isn't it? The fact that, you talk about picking your exit. You can't really pick your entrance either, can you? Because you end up getting a job, say in the Premier League, when like something else has gone horribly wrong. So a lot of people have, I think, been put off where Palace are at the moment. And that sense that they're not really going in the right direction upstairs, I think has been something that has been perceived by a lot of those coaching candidates, because otherwise this move would have happened earlier.
When you say he's going to fall out with the players, I mean, if you look at pictures of the man...
No, I said he's going to fall out with the people who recruit the players.
Oh, okay, sorry. Oh, okay, that makes more sense. Because he looks like quite an agreeable kind of chap, you know, the type of chap who would sort of go, oh, right, we'll do it your way then. You know?
Right, okay.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't say that.
Yeah.
A walkover.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, look, it's...
Are you suggesting that having looked at Oliver Glasner's image, you feel that you could bully him? That's what this
sounds like. It,
seems to have drawn.
I think I could have a go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could you bully him into taking over before the game against Everton on Monday, do you think?
Yeah. No, well, that's not going to happen, we don't think, is it?
Well, Palace fans would like you to do that, maybe.
Okay.
Still got the Fulham home match against them, so this season.
Right.
And I noted.
Well, I'll get down there and bully him to... Drown
him in the pool.
Oh dear. Well, yeah.
Drown him in the pool. That's quite extreme.
Well, dunk him in the pool.
Yeah, I'm not going to drown
him. What is a dunking if not a small drowning? What is a sleeping but not a small death?
Yeah,
what is love?
See, a philosophy.
But a Friday feeling.
You're a bit like David Bowie in many ways. There's like lots of different characters.
Lots of outfits. Yeah. Just lots of outfits.
Reams and reams of material we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank goodness. All right, well, we'll see, won't we? But that seems to be what's happening at Palace, so good luck to them. Speaking of those who once managed Crystal Palace, see that Neil Warnock got a 3-3 draw with Aberdeen on Wednesday night with Motherwell. They were 3-0 down inside half an hour.
At home as well.
Yes, but fought back. And were denied a winner for a marginal offside. Gutting.
Absolutely gutting.
Yeah, Warnock said after the game, VAR, I don't believe it, me. He said VAR is a computer. I think it's the Horizon computer, which of course is a mention to the post office.
Indeed.
I think the head of VAR should give back a CBE, personally. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
The quotes are amazing.
They are very, very good, yeah.
They're somewhat less amazing when you hear the audio version of them or see the TV version of it, because he pauses for the laugh like an 80s comedian.
Right.
And then he turns around and goes, oh, that were a good one, that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
That does make it better for me. That makes it way better. Yeah.
I think Neil Hamburg, just absolutely horrible man.
It was when he started talking about Var's mother-in-law that really did it for me. Unlike Roy Hodgson, I don't think we'll see Neil Warnock back at Palace, though, at any time.
No.
Ever. Never say never.
Never say never.
Well, I don't think he will, but I think they will. But it is, look, to sort of wrap up the Palace chat, I think, as I said at the start, it is sad that Hodgson, the club that one could suggest that he's quite synonymous with, having managed so many different teams, and it kind of ends like this as well.
I mean, was it not always going to end like this? I mean, quite apart from him, obviously, spending a bit of time in hospital and stuff, was it ever going to end well, going back to the well, so to speak?
It was all heading in one direction, wasn't it? Yeah, I think in an ideal world, he would have given them a solid season.
Yeah, I think that's all they needed, wasn't it?
Yeah, get into the summer and go, do you know what, Roy, thanks very much. You steadied the ship, all that kind of cliched stuff. You know, well done, and then thanks very much. Yeah, you'll always be welcome back at the club, which I'm sure he will be.
Yeah. But he said recently as well, didn't he, this is one of the hardest kind of scraps like this he's faced, because the fans have turned against him so much, and the banners and things show that as well. It's a real shame.
But I mean, I think the thing is, he's taken it quite personally, where actually it's not directed at him.
No, that's right. I think the fans have gone out of their way to show that it's not directed at him in a quite admirable way, actually.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I would go along with that. All right, gentlemen, the Premier League is back once again, and Luton Town host Manchester United on Sunday at 4:30. Been a pretty positive week for Manchester United, one has to say. I haven't said that for a while. The reports are that they are expected to reach an agreement to bring in Newcastle sporting director Dan Ashworth. They're stealing one of yours, Petey.
Yeah.
It's Andy Cole all over again.
It was such a massive sort of deal when he signed as well, and you look at like the sort of players that he's brought in. I mean, mainly quite young kind of academy players, but how much he was involved in those ones, but you don't know. But you sort of think maybe they're sort of working under the auspices of a restrictive FFP. It's kind of taking its toll, and he wants to spend more money, basically.
I think because people want to
we should
be
get
excited.
Rid of FFP, shouldn't we, Pete?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because people want to say it's a revolution at Manchester United, though, people have conflated his role at Newcastle into, oh my God, he's transformed the club.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
he has done good work there. Mm. Over the last year and a half.
The money transformed the club. Kieran Trippier transformed the club.
Yeah, who predates Dan Ashworth, obviously. Yeah.
Well, Manchester United, they've also got one or two new people in as well. Last month, Manchester City's chief football operations manager, Omar Barada, said he was joining Manchester United in the summer.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a coup for
them.
They're
making huge moves here in all this sort of behind-the-scenes stuff. And we've been saying for a long, long time that is very obviously one of the areas that is an issue at Man United. So, again, like, credit where it's due there.
Yeah.
Well, potentially. Was there? It works out, obviously. But
get a new chef who washes his hands.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Fix the roof.
Yeah. Fix the
roof. Fix the roof. Apparently it's been leaking for 10 years.
Fix the roof.
Someone from inside the club said that
recently. Buy some Jif Lemon.
Stop getting Patrice Everett to cook the chicken.
Yeah.
But also, Southampton's director of football, Jason Wilcox, remember him?
Yeah.
He's been in talks with a potential move up to Manchester United. He worked with Barada at Manchester City as academy director. And he was at Man City for nearly 10 years. Apparently played a big part in developing players such as Phil Foden and Rico Lewis. So, you know, I think...
That's surprising, isn't it? Because Jason Wilcox is very much one of those sort of like pub quiz kind of...
He's a 7 out of 10 Premier League classic, isn't he?
Yeah. I've realised that in my head when I picture him, I've been picturing Jason McAteer. Like he's
bit,
sort of like
bit of the late Justin Edinburgh from
in your
well,
own
yeah,
mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously he's been doing a lot of good stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah. It's from the Brian Marwood zone.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
But what do you think about this, chaps? I mean, it does look like a little bit the fact that they've got one man coming in directly from Man City, and obviously Wilcox worked there as well. Is there a bit of copying going on, or inspiration perhaps?
Well,
from those
that's
noisy
fine,
neighbors?
Though.
That's not a criticism.
Yeah, I think one of the things City do really well is identify the best people and pay them the best money, right? So, there's obviously a lot of talent there for that reason.
And at that level, it's cheaper than investing in squads, isn't it?
Yeah,
which they've tried to do over the years.
And also, how many people have relevant experience in that area? It's a small amount of people. So, I mean, it seems like Jim Ratcliffe is doing what he's. Said he would set out to do, which is taking charge. I don't recognise that. he's sort of taking charge of the football side of things and trying to sort of shake that very quickly. So this is to be expected. I
think you look at it and what it says, if you know Ratcliffe's work at Nice, it says that he's used Nice almost as a sort of guinea pig for what he wants to do at Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Because when it's gone better at Nice is when he's had less involvement, when he's put the correct football management structure in. I mean, basically, they went out and they looked at Nice, looked at Lens, who had the best sporting director, best recruitment department. They're like, right, okay, we're going to take that as a whole to Nice. And that's what they did. And since Radcliffe and Dave Brailsford have not been involved as much, been much better.
Interesting. Well, Harry Maguire was very impressed with Sir Jim Ratcliffe for bringing a fresh energy, he said.
It's not fresh energy, it's fossil fuel. Wish he would invest in fresh energy.
Bringing jacket and jeans. He's a very jacket and jeansy kind of guy.
He looks like
Wurzel Gummidge if he made a bit of bunts.
Like it? Like bunts?
He's got scarecrow vibes.
Yeah.
Bunts.
Bunts. Right. Bit of bunts. Yeah. Brought the bunts.
Do you think that's what he'll do with Manchester United then, Andy? Do you think that he will have a more hands-off approach?
He should do. He definitely should do.
Yeah, but do you think he will?
Yeah, I think he probably will. I mean, he left his brother Bob to look after Nice for most of the time. Maybe that was his mistake at the beginning.
Yeah,
Bob Rat, do this for a bit, will ya?
This is interesting. Does he just hand out the clubs to family members?
Well, look, because he's the figurehead, it doesn't mean he should do everything, does it? United have been really desperate for this kind of management structure for a while. You do have a look at it and think it's got a bit of a trolley dash feel to it. Uh-huh. So how do all these pieces fit together? Mm. I don't think we should look at it and think, guaranteed success. There are still a lot of things to do. And for all we know, Jim was talking about the leaking roof. Jason Wilcox could be up a ladder by this time next week.
Is this the age of like the rock and roll kind of like 40 grand a week football administrator, Andy? Like, I'm worried that this is going to be the new, fantasy teams. We're going to put him there and him there and him there in the boardroom with the little iPads and stuff.
We need some bloggers. Remember 15 years
bloggers,
ago.
Yeah.
I've long since wanted not football manager, but football director of football.
Yes. Nice.
Maybe it's tautologist, so you can really have that.
Surely Football Manager allows you to do all that nonsense nowadays. I just turn it all off. I just do the press conferences, do some screaming.
you're just a figurehead.
I don't even look after the matches. I'm basically Jason Tindall.
You're
looking
of,
good.
In a weird way, just doing a podcast, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just doing the communication bit.
Well, they are playing Luton Town on the weekend, and Luton Town are looking to bounce back from their first defeat of 2024. Of course, came at the hands of Sheffield United. It was a surprise.
It's an interesting one because obviously it's at Kenilworth Road and they've acquitted themselves very, very well against the top six Luton so far this season. I do wonder though if this, because that front three at United really look like they've clicked and look like they are, very, very, very fun to watch, very fluid. They've definitely got goals in them. I wonder if that might make it a difficult afternoon for Luton.
Yes, I think it's a tall order because Manchester United, they are putting some results together. I know we sort of have a bit of a laugh about them and so on and so forth. But
well, that's our right, isn't it? After what they did to us in the 90s.
Definitely. But they've won. Sorry, Jim. They've won three.
I just wanted to make sure any Man United fans listening who thought that was sympathetic.
That's right. Yeah.
Can get fucked.
Yeah. Well, they've won three on the bounce and they are beginning to bother. They're 6 points behind Spurs in fourth. I'm not sure that they'll end up in the Champions League spots. But they've
14 games to go, though. It's enough time,
it's a realistic ambition.
And let's be honest, fifth will probably get a Champions League spot this season as well. Apparently, there's a good chance of that.
Oh yes, of course.
Although it's still Spain and Germany in the top two at the moment.
Europe hasn't been slapped about by Arsenal yet.
That's true.
It is funny though, as you say, Marcus, that the fact that there is, I think for people who look at the start of Manchester United season and what a shambles it was, the travesty of them making the Champions League is very much alive. Yeah. I think. And the thing is, that's what happens when you've got a lot of high quality players. But like the bits in between, like the coherent strategy, decent football, all of that stuff, it's very much an afterthought, really. They could do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's still with Manchester United if they lose a game or they get a poor result or something. It's still massive.
They have got like Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City before the end of the season. You look at other teams like my own Newcastle and they've got nobody apart from maybe Man United in there.
Fulham.
Spurs probably
Fulham.
Do a bit of do a bit of damage. But
that's twice he's not. He's ignore that.
You need to speak
up. I am. Scream it, Marcus. Scream it for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
but I just think that teams like that will have easier runs than Man United, and I just think they'll get their bums handed to them in those big matches.
That's the thing. What you were saying about overreaction to a Man United defeat, Pete's completely right. They beat a couple of shit teams, and all of a sudden, they're back.
So yeah,
it's
I heard Man United.
It's Man United.
Yeah. I heard Andy say Pete's right. So
yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, clip that.
They're the things I do here.
But the front three, as I mentioned already, look a lot better than they have at any point prior to this. And also, Casemiro and Kobbie Mainoo look a really, really decent partnership in the middle.
Yeah,
they've hit on something that's made that midfield work there. Mm-hmm. And that has been a problem for them for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And
obviously, I love desperation Mainoo's solutions.
Well, Mainoo's obviously a young player. So, you know, young players, they can be a little bit inconsistent by the nature of it. But with Casemiro in there to kind of talk him through it, I wonder if actually they're going to have a strong end to the season.
And McTominay in the role that he always should have been.
Absolutely.
Goal scoring super sub.
Completely.
Which is perfect.
He's a striker. Surely. Yeah. He's England's second greatest striker of this generation, and we've all missed out on that. Mm. So much so that he plays in midfield for Scotland. That's my assessment.
No, I completely agree.
It's funny actually this week, because there was a big deal being made in Germany about the fact that Jamal Musiala was playing for Bayern away at Lazio, and that's where he had become their youngest player in the Champions League. And I sat there and I remember, oh yeah, at the time, he was England's youngest ever Champions League player before he declared for Germany.
Does that reset now then? Or does he still count because he was eligible at the time?
Well, yeah, it's a good question, that.
We'll have to ask the dubious appearances panel. Gentlemen, a former Manchester United player that we all very much remember and who burst on the scene as a youngster at Everton, admittedly, was Wayne Rooney. And there are rumours that he's considering a go in the boxing ring. He's reportedly in talks with the promoter who runs KSI's influencer boxing series, Misfits Boxing. So, although he's come out and said this is not true.
Yeah, I want to say this. A lot of people listening might have seen the clip of him talking with Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher about this, and essentially putting the kibosh on it. Let's all put a pin in that.
Mm.
Let's ignore that.
Yes.
let's pretend we've not seen or heard that.
Yeah. Rooney in the boxing ring.
That's Phil Bardsley's music. What would Phil Bardsley's music be, though?
No, yeah, that's true. Probably
the Cortinas.
Yeah.
Jamie T. If you got the money.
It's Kasabian. Maybe
yes.
Even that might be a bit too yeah, because he
I like Phil Jamie T as well, Andy.
Spark him out that time, didn't he?
Jamie T has endured. Mm. Out of a lot of indie landfill, he's managed to continue.
Well, so a bit of respect.
He's done well. Yeah. I do love the expression indie landfill. So.
It's perfect.
Rooney would beat the living daylights out of whoever he was in the box.
Well, the really
I don't think he would. We've seen him be knocked out.
Yeah, but Phil Bardsley.
No, but
he's got a glass jaw.
No, but they were just
got a letterbox mouth.
No, I think they were just like they were messing around, and Bardsley's caught him a bit. You know.
Well, that can happen in a boxing ring as well, though.
Yeah.
In a way, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah, but have you seen his jaw now?
It's bigger.
He looks like that beast they constructed that could survive a car crash.
Yeah.
starting to look a bit like that guy.
Yeah, that's why he's done it. He's like, all right, you'll see.
Yeah.
You think I've got a glass jaw? Well, I've got all this protection now. Come at me.
It comes from KSI, doesn't it? So KSI said Wayne Rooney had offered to fight him.
Right.
Which is fascinating.
Mm. Yeah. I'll knock his
out. Is that not because he's so closely associated with Arsenal rather than anything else?
I
think that is a leap.
Okay. Wayne Rooney just opens every door to every room and just that's his greeting. I'm going to knock his out.
Yeah.
That's it. Hi, Wayne.
The talk was that if he, you know, he's obviously prioritising management, but if that doesn't work out, he'll look at Bronx. Right. It's not a great look, is it?
He'll beat up a celebrity.
Yeah,
or it's amazing.
That picture of him looking dejected in Birmingham City tunnel going, oh, fuck's sake.
So if you don't get this job, Wayne, what do you think you'll do? Oh, probably try and beat up a YouTuber who's half my age.
That might be a few quid.
Stress try as well.
Really punch a billionaire.
Apparently Wayne Bridge is also quite handy in the ring.
All the Wayne's,
tipped to this. Like, to be honest, I mean, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about this, all this sort of YouTube amateur boxing stuff. And I do understand that.
It's shit, Jim.
I know it is.
Yeah.
But if they can fill it with ex-footballers, I am watching that.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
That's in my mind where Jason Wilcox ends up.
Yeah, Wayne. I wouldn't have seen it, but apparently he was described as an animal in the ring.
Exactly.
Okay.
So like Wayne Bridge against
John
Terry. Yeah.
Oh,
now you're talking.
Terry's golf. Good at golf, Terry, and he. So yeah. You might turn his hand to this.
Terry's not getting involved.
Mm.
wisely. Gentlemen, let's finish the half by talking about Kylian Mbappe. He's finally told PSG that he intends to leave at the end of the season following an hour-long meeting with Nasser Al Khelaifi yesterday morning. The terms of his exit are yet to be agreed. And of course, this saga has been going on since 2022 when he first turned down a move to Real Madrid. And then there was all that chat about Saudi Arabia. And then he signed a new deal with PSG, which he's, you know, he's earning, you know, 200 million a season. He's on the board and he's basically the manager and all this kind of stuff. But he will leave them. He will leave them. And now let's speculate, Jim, where he's going to go.
Absolutely.
Because Mikel Arteta thinks Arsenal have got to be in the conversation.
Well, I was a little bit concerned for Gabriel Martinelli at the start of the season, because obviously you would think, like, as well as Martinelli plays, he's not going to get in the team ahead of Kylian Mbappe.
You would have thought so.
But Andy was telling me earlier that Mbappe's been playing centrally this season. So Gabriel Jesus obviously can play wide as well. So I don't see that there's any other destination for him apart from the Emirates.
Callum Wilson's pulled his titty. He's on blocks. So let's get him in.
Yeah. That's a shame. So he's going to go to Real Madrid, isn't
he? Hang on. You're worried about FFP.
Sorry.
Let's get Kylian Mbappe in.
I just think he'll play for nothing because he was impressed with their appearance at the Parc de France.
Yeah, and he wants to piss off Qatar that much.
With the Amazon documentary.
Yeah, he watched the Amazon documentary and got completely spot washed and wanted to come for the project.
I can't argue with that. I mean, they could be
not worried about FFP and just saving up.
Yes, exactly. I mean, Eddie Howe has lied through his teeth before.
Right.
He actually, a few weeks ago at a presser, he did sort of go, "I'm not lying about this one." It's one of Callum's many injuries. I'm not lying about this one. So he knows that he talks absolute shit on a Friday.
They do it all the time.
But he really leans in. Most like local journalists in Newcastle, they go, we don't know why we bother turning up, because he just lies about the team that's available, the injuries that he's got, and it's just not worth doing.
What a naughty little sausage.
What a naughty sausage.
What a shame.
He's going to Real Madrid though, right?
He's going to Real Madrid.
Surely.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's
Bellingham. Mbappe.
It's just a matter of the detail, isn't it?
Bellingham.
I have to say, Bellingham.
Bellingham and Mbappe.
Didn't we drink that in the 80s?
Yes.
But I think the thing with this is that the words you use, the terms of his exit, are yet to be agreed. Like, he's out of contract in the summer.
You don't have a say in this, guys.
But the way that PSG don't understand this is extraordinary. So bear in mind, he's already given back, so they'd let him play this season. And, you know, we've all paid to play at the weekend.
Yeah.
But he's basically given back the thick end of 100 million euros to be able to play this season in loyalty bonus that he was entitled to. And now they're like, yeah, well, to show how much Paris means to you, it'd be great if you gave us like a little bit of your signing on fee from Real Madrid.
What?
And it's like, are you serious? It's like
this is PSG.
PSG going cap in hand to like, lend us a tenner.
That's embarrassing.
Like your well-off mate who never buys the drinks.
But PSG now are saying, I mean, Nasser Khelaifi said that, as we said the other day on the pod, that he said that, you know, the bling bling flashy era of PSG is over now. And with the amount of talent that they have in that city, we all know it's well documented. So they're saying, right, now we're going to, you know, have perhaps a more sort of a bottom-up approach. None of this sort of Galactico stuff, if you will.
And yet.
Yeah.
If you look at today's L'Equipe, they're briefing, they're interested in Salah, Kimmich, Leao,
Osimhen.
Yeah. I mean, probably all of them, not just selected ones.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, to be fair, you can make some big signings but still have young players through in the academy.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, do you believe him, Andy?
No,
I didn't think you would. Well, fair enough.
On Mbappe,
they're gonna try and sign Cristiano Ronaldo, some bollocks like that, aren't they?
Mm. On Mbappe being a sort of, you know, obviously going to Real Madrid, I think we all expect that to happen, and it might stop clubs coming in for him. I do think we all know he wants to go there eventually, at some point, because he's, you know, he sort of grew up as a Real Madrid fan and all this stuff. But I think, you know, the possibility of him being available on a free, obviously that comes with heavy caveats because you have to pay him so much. Surely, in any sort of ambitious club, at least have to explore the idea of it. I mean, Premier League clubs as well.
Even if he's going to say no, you've got to ask.
Even if it's completely ridiculous, and it's like trying to sign Messi in his prime. But that's, like, you at least explore the idea.
Exactly,
surely.
That's where they are at the moment, because everyone really knows that he's going to Real Madrid. But until the ink's on the paper, until he's holding up the shirt, you've got to ask.
You do have to ask. You do. Mm. Right, everybody. Coming up in the second half, we've got Spurs versus Wolves. We've got Manchester City versus Chelsea. And we've got a Jurgen Klinsmann update. See you in a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
When you're a player, and I've been involved, we didn't win the league for 30 years at Liverpool, right? Just look at me when I'm talking to you.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Jamie Redknapp getting a bit shirty with Gary Neville there, of course.
It was Roy Keane, wasn't it?
No, it was Gary Neville.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Yeah, speak to Roy Keane like that all the time.
He's not saying that to Roy Keane, is he?
That was what was so notable about it.
Definitely wasn't Roy Keane. Spurs versus Wolves. Two great examples of football clubs where we never call them by their full names, do we? Mm.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay.
Only if we're angry with them.
Yeah. That's true. Tottenham Hotspur, would you come here now?
Get back in here.
Wolves beat them back in November with those two goals in stoppage time.
Two absolute bangers.
They
as well.
Were.
Sarabi used up all of his football for the whole season in that one goal.
It was a glorious goal, though.
Unbelievable goal.
Yeah.
I don't think he's scored since, has he? Apart from a penalty recently, maybe.
True. Oh, it was Bergkamp-esque, Jim.
It was.
No, I mean, it's fine for me to think he's too good for Wolves. It's not fine for him to think he's too good for Wolves.
I see. Yeah. Well, Spurs themselves are, of course, in that fourth spot. They've been doing okay of late. They've scored in 36 league games in a row, which I find slightly impressive. What do you think of this one then, Jimmy? I mean, we've enjoyed Wolves this season, there's no doubt about that. But, I mean, Spurs are, what are they, 15 points above Wolves in the table. So Spurs will be favourites for this one.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think they're back in their groove, for sure. And we all expected them to improve instantly when James Maddison came back. That has happened. Mm. They're back to their sort of free-flowing fun best. Wolves have had a little bit of
FFB.
Slightly inconsistent form. That Man United game was obviously quite gutting, but they acquitted themselves well. The Chelsea game was brilliant, and then obviously, sadly, they lose 2-0 to Brentford at home, which is a real sort of damp squib after those two results. So I think Spurs have to go into this as heavy, heavy favourites, especially at home.
Mm. Having said that, I mean, I've been to see Spurs a few times recently. I do feel, since the turn of the year, even if the results have come right again, the way they're actually playing, it's just totally chaotic. Mm. totally chaotic.
Well, a big sort of gutting factor for Wolves is that Matheus Cunha is not going to be involved because he seems the perfect player to play against this model of Spurs.
I agree, and I think that was probably the moment against Brentford, actually, wasn't it, where he went off. You know, that's where they took a shot in the wing, really, because
I hate to stereotype, but you don't want to tell the Brazilian international that his season's over at this point. So he's coming back a wreck. Sorry.
Yeah. We've seen it done before.
Have you seen those recent pictures of Neymar that are doing the rounds?
Yeah.
Where is he?
I
haven't. He's giving the respect it
deserves.
But he's wearing the training kit, but that's the only sense in which he looks like a footballer.
I see. Yeah. Is he in his that big sort of hacienda type thing? Or
he's in his Ronaldo on a yacht for that. Kind of,
no, but remember that big house he was building, Jim?
Yeah, with his own private beach.
Yeah, but I mean, it like basically just ate up, I don't know if they have green belt in Brazil, but it was right. A lot of...
I don't know if they have green belt.
They've got a lot of green. No, there was some sort of planning permission where he'd...
He just kept ignoring it.
Yeah, exactly.
He just kept paying the fines.
Yeah.
I will have my own beach.
Yeah. And
he doesn't look like a footballer anymore.
Poor old Neymar, eh?
Poor old Neymar. Multi-millionaire Neymar.
The thing is, he's the top scorer in the Brazil national team, the men's team, in their history.
Depending on who's doing the counting.
Yeah. Okay, the
Not
official.
Romario.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nor Romario.
Yeah. And yeah, like what he's achieved in the game, and yet it feels like we're sort of lacking a little bit with old Neymar, do you not think?
Yeah. Bad decision to go to Paris.
It was indeed. Was it a bad decision for Antonio Conte to go to Tottenham? He said in an interview this week that getting Spurs into the Champions League in 2022 was a miracle. He said, "We didn't celebrate it like it was a miracle because I'm used to winning." He also said that he liked his time at Spurs and he keeps the experiences close to his heart.
Yeah, he's got such an interesting way of looking at that time because I think we could all see that team was better than the football he was producing with them, but he apparently has got no time for that as even a possibility, even with the benefit of hindsight.
You can make the division there because normally we just remember the last image of a coach in charge and like, hadn't it got awful? And it had got awful.
Yeah,
but he's right. It was incredible that he got them in the Champions League. When he took over, there was no way that they were making the
And they
top
got
four.
Into the knockouts of the Champions League. I know it was piss poor when they went out with a just complete whimper.
Yeah.
But they were in the knockouts.
Well, yeah. He said at the end, he said at the final game against Norwich, I called my staff and said, pay attention, don't be used to celebrating a Champions League place. I was very clear. Mm. I was like, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for like ages was just like, had posters everywhere going, it's the only place to watch Champions League football in London, etc.
I mean, that does remind me of my favourite ever Antonio Conte quote, which I have to do again, that when they went through that unbeaten season at Juventus in his first season in charge. So a game before the end of the season, obviously they'd gone from seventh to winning the league, not losing. And Buffon, as one of the senior players, went up to him before the final game and said, would it be okay to speak to you about the bonuses for the boys? He said, every time you open your mouth, you're a disappointment to me.
Wow.
I mean, that's incredible, isn't it?
It's good, that. It is good. Oh. Well, as I've mentioned before on the pod, Andrea Pirlo, in his book, said that when Antonio Conte opens his mouth, his words assault you. We can imagine.
I mean, Buffon literally means clown, doesn't it?
He's asking for it, really, and that daft little muggy playing career of his. Well, anyway, let's get back to what Spurs are doing now. They wrote to Pugmul last week to ask what constitutes a foul on a goalkeeper after Vicario was recently perceived to be obstructed by opposition players on set pieces. Obviously, Everton and Brentford scored from said set pieces in recent weeks.
It's a little sort of micro-industry of kind of gaming or perceiving to try to game the refs by writing these little muggy little notes, isn't it? I want people to be noted. It's basically like when a player says to a referee, keep your eye on this.
This is
happening a lot.
There's too much passive-aggressive in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, there is.
Especially with Pugmul.
But at least it's letter writing. I mean, they would often come out in press conferences, and obviously we all know Ferguson was good at that, and said, well, such and such a player needs more protection. You just highlight the issue, of course.
You're back to the old British tradition of protesting through letter writing.
Indeed, yes.
We're not revolutionary people, Marcus.
No, I'm all for it. You know, Andy, let's roll back the years.
Roll back the desk.
There we go.
From the desk of Speller.
I do love it, though, that the fact is when they played Dyche's Everton
and Frank's Brentford, they're moaning about set pieces going in on the keeper. It's like, what did you expect?
I don't think that is what they're moaning about. I think the key word in there is obstructed, really. Uh-huh. I think there's, you know,
no, but if, of the teams that are going to really push that to the limit.
Of course it's going to happen, but I think this is the issue, isn't it? The rules and the limits have to be the same for everybody, right? Yeah. So you can't, you shouldn't be able to just stand on a goalkeeper on the line, push him into the goal and not let him move, surely. I understand what they're aggrieved about.
Yeah, he does need to get on the weights, Vicario, though. You'd agree with that.
He does need to get on the weights.
He does. Yeah.
Just be better.
Yeah.
Just get good. Get good.
Don't let people push you around. Push them back.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'd say. Imagine if Pogba replied that.
Yeah. That'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be fun, wouldn't it, if Pugmal start getting really aggressive.
They wrote to Vicario and said you shouldn't be letting your dad write letters for you. Deal with it yourself.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's all a bit silly. But yeah, I can understand, as you say, Jim, why Spurs were a little bit aggrieved. But again, I mean, I think this might have the reverse effect though. Because now I mean, obviously Premier League clubs, they'll do their tactics. If we're aware that this has happened to Vicario, you know, I'm quite sure Premier League managers will be aware, but expect Gary O'Neill to maybe target him a little bit with some set pieces on the game on Saturday. Good news for Wolves is that Huang is back.
Yes,
in the side. So yes, Cunha's out, but it's good that he's back in there because we've enjoyed seeing him.
I was surprised to see like quite a few Wolves fans that I know sort of criticising Dawson and wanting him back, wanting him kind of replaced. And it's like he's been really good this season. He had one crappy game last week and everyone's forgotten it.
And you're labelled a prat.
Yeah.
Right. Let's give you that Jurgen Klinsmann update.
Has he saved
Speaking
his job?
Speaking of prat.
He's been sacked.
Oh,
he's been sacked.
Hardly new year.
Yeah. After 12 months in charge.
Remote working masterclass.
It's like where Holly in Red Dwarf like loses that game of chess and he gets like eliminated, like zapped by the other computer. I just like turn his screen off.
And yeah, have a go at me for 90s references.
Not wrong with a bit of Red Dwarf.
Klinsmann's gone.
Smeghead.
well done. Korean Football Association Advisory Committee had recommended sacking him earlier this week. I love that.
I love it, yeah, because, I mean, they obviously do things slightly differently in the way they have their setup there. So, like, essentially, they're not going to sack him immediately. They're just going to come to a decision to sack him and then sort of pass that decision down to essentially what is the sacking committee with Klinsmann aware of all this the whole time. See it down the line.
He's looking down the corridor going, oh, he's going to see him. Yeah. They've gone to see that.
And it's no more than he deserves for this absolutely slipshod approach that he's taken to managing a
national
team.
In the building. Come on, Marcus. Exactly. Yeah, may see an errant CC on an email.
They're probably
why
all
has he been CC'd
in Qatar, and he's still just in his hotel room on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the best part of it of the second in that article was that, and I quote, he took part in Thursday's meeting via video call. Now that wasn't the sacking, that was the prelude to the sacking.
Yeah.
But even then, he's
one of those cat filters on. I'm not a cat.
Yeah, well, the KFA president said today, Coach Klinsmann, love that, failed to demonstrate leadership that we expected from the national team coach, including game management, player management, and work attitude.
Is it like when you leave the US presidency, you're entitled to be called coach for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes, perhaps, yeah. Perhaps. Well, I mean, he failed to control some of his players, Andy, because did you hear that Son Heung-min dislocated a finger during a disagreement with some younger teammates at the Asian Cup, which is why he was strapped up in the game. Was it against Brighton?
This is absolutely mad, isn't it? If it's France, you expect it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's apparently Lee Kang from PSG, and his dad was a taekwondo instructor, so I wouldn't mess with him.
No, I wouldn't.
He'll know all the moves.
Yeah, well, evidently he does. I mean, it was apparently a team dinner before the semi-final against Jordan in the Asian Cup. Some younger players wanted to leave the table and go and play table tennis.
I still don't understand how his finger has got injured here.
I think it was in a scuffle out. Whacking it too hard at the younger players.
Young people these days! He thought he was Mick Jagger doing some moves and he was banging away at them. Why
are sports people so boring? I want to leave the table to go and play table tennis to compete again.
I need to
compete 24/7 because my soul is empty.
Oh, Peter.
Why I'm not a professional footballer. Fig one.
Well, anyway, I think it was a bit of a melee. I don't think someone tried.
Like some of the younger players have been drinking too much Orangina.
There you are. Yeah. I don't think anybody
did. Hardly the dentist chair, is it?
That would be a surprise for the South Korean national team. Oh dear. Anyway, gentlemen, let's finish our Premier League chat with Manchester City versus Chelsea on Saturday at 5:30. Of course, they played that incredible 4-4 draw back in November, where Cole Palmer scored the equaliser late on. He said it will be weird playing at the Etihad.
Yeah,
against that lot. I've added the last bit there. Now, Chelsea. They've made an offer for Brighton's head of recruitment, Sam Jewell, just 16 months after poaching the last one, which was Paul Winstanley. So Chelsea at it again, trying to poach people from Brighton.
You've got one. Just keep the one you've got.
Put him out on loan.
Load him back to Brighton.
Run him on.
Yeah, Dan Ashworth thing has made him think. Oh, we can't be sitting on our hands here, can we?
No, I don't think
so. Loan him out on like an Office Angels contract. Do we still have Office Angels?
Probably.
Temporary company?
Yeah, I'd hope so, yeah. Jim, big vested interest for you in this game, of course, with your beloved Arsenal just on the same points as Man City. Can Chelsea do your boys a favour? I know you'll be supporting them again.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they did, but the game at Stamford Bridge was probably the best game of the season so far in terms of pure like box office entertainment. Couldn't take your eyes off it. Uh-huh. I would love it if Chelsea can bring that to City again, just in terms of the spectacle of it, because it was brilliant. And one of the intriguing things about them this season is how sometimes they can have these brilliant bursts, because they've got some really, really great players in there. They are very unpredictable, because even they feel like they don't always know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit of chaos is something that Man City will, you know, find difficult to contend with, as they did at Stamford Bridge. But you'd expect that City have now gone into their fully sort of like machine-like, robotic winning machine ways, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Andy? Because you think Chelsea, you think of, you know, the badge, you think of some of the players they've got. I mean, they are 10th. They're a point behind Brighton, a couple of points behind West Ham. So is it foolish to think that Chelsea can go there and get something? Or do you think, oh, no, well, you go on about that 4-4, you think about, you know, all that stuff considered. Well,
I think that's the point, as Jim made, the fact that City will give you chances, however good they are. I guess if you take the entirety of the season, would Chelsea take those chances? And I think the answer is probably not. Uh-huh. But there is like a maybe little frisson that they could get those chances. But realistically, City could play well for 25 minutes and absolutely hammer them.
I suppose the most comparable game is when Chelsea visited Anfield not 2 games ago and got thumped. So
Yeah.
True enough, everybody. Right, it's now time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. Today, we're building an Acca of 4 match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. Andy, you're up first.
Newcastle United to beat Bournemouth, of course. Despite the pectoral injury to former Cherry striker Callum Wilson, I think Newcastle will find the goals elsewhere. They're very, very good at home still, and Bournemouth not in a great place at the moment.
I think that's quite a conservative bet, if I'm honest with you, Andy.
Do you think? They've got no strikers.
They've got no strikers. We've got nobody.
Yeah. I mean,
they've got no money. They've got no strikers.
And Bournemouth aren't in a good place, you said.
It will be a blow for the little guy if Newcastle make good on this bet.
That's true. Also, the aim is to get them right. Mm. The aim is to win, isn't it?
That is true. All right, sorry, Andy. Yeah, so you've really stepped out there with that one.
I think so.
You've got 7 out of 15 correct, apparently. No doubt you'll have 8 out of 15 correct. 8 out of 16 correct after this one. Peter. Now, you completed a hat-trick of correct picks last week. You got 8 out of 14. Ooh. You're going incredibly well. What have you gone for this week?
I'm going for 4, and I'm going for Brentford versus Liverpool, and I'm going for the draw.
Ooh.
I think Brentford are starting to get their defensive responsibilities right.
Yes.
And I think Tony holding up the ball beautifully. They're very direct. I don't think they'll win the match, but I think they're good for a draw.
Hence, you've put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, and that would do Arsenal a favour, wouldn't it, Jimmy?
Sure.
What have you gone, Jim? You completed a hat-trick of incorrect picks last week. You've got 9 out of 23. Yeah. It's not a great record.
It's getting bad now, isn't it?
So you've got to go for something a little bit more safe,
perhaps. Indeed. So I just say, I don't think the teams I've been predicting to win are getting enough stick for letting me down here.
True, true.
Because at the start of every day, they've got the chance to go out and win those points, and they keep letting me down. So I am trying to use my newfound powers for good. So I've gone for Spurs to win. So it's win-win for me, even if I don't get the correct decision. So I do think Spurs at home against Wolves are going to be heavy, heavy favourites to win this, as I say, and I think they will have too much for lovely Gary O'Neill.
I see. Right, I've got 14 out of 24 correct, and I have picked Manchester United to beat Luton Town away. They're going to heap more misery on Luton after their loss against Sheffield United, and Manchester United will continue their subtle little campaign for Champions League glory next season. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £149.70, and if we win, all that money goes to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. We've raised £550 already this season. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected, and that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook, T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved, and for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
He doesn't know what that means. It's Jack's Encyclopedia, simple game of categories, etc. Huge victory for the Luke Nation last week, who now has the lineal belt, so he'll be, I don't know, just topless in his house. Just
be hanging out with Neymar.
Just hanging out with Neymar, patting each other's trophies and silverware. Jim, I'm going to kick off with you, if that's all right, straight in.
Absolutely.
Because I broke a computer earlier, which meant that we started the ramble rather late. Teams that Roy Hodgson has married, club or countries. Sorry, I say married. That's a good start, isn't it? Teams that Roy Hodgson has managed, club or countries, caretaker jobs not included. Fuck buddies do.
I'm going to kick things off with Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace.
Fulham.
Fulham.
Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Ooh, I like
it.
England.
England.
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Malmö.
Yes.
Ooh. Inter.
FC Copenhagen.
Correct.
Grasshopper.
Yes.
Like that.
Blackburn Rovers.
Ooh. Finland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
I like it.
Slim pickings now.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Bristol City.
Bloody hell, well played.
Skull, very, very sexy. Whoa. Sorry, Jim.
It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Torino.
I just like the way you said Torino. Marcus, have we got someone?
It's Torres to give
West Ham. I know he's not managed West Ham. There is obvious ones we've missed.
Gizwon.
Watford.
Oh my god.
Congratulations.
West Brom as well. How many times have we had that Harry the Hornet buffer?
Oh, West Brom, yeah.
It's easy the moment you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday, surely.
Yeah. You've got Insignia, Lignano. God, I'm terrible at these. Nukatel Jamax, I think. Orebro SK, Pogo Crema, UAE, Udinese, Lamezia, Viking, and West Brom.
Yeah.
Nuchatel. Not much of a night
Nuchatel,
out.
Nuchatel.
All right, Andy. Yeah. Showboating.
All right, then.
Absolutely. Can you look at the showboating on that.
Showboating about what a shit night out I had there. Yeah, obviously.
What did you do in Nuchatel?
Nothing, because everything was shut
everything
by the time
was
I finished
shut. Terrible night out. Oh, all right. Number two, Marcus Bella.
Hello.
Have a listen to this.
Right.
Because it's a good round, but you've got to listen to what the question is.
Right.
We've made a list of the top 15 highest scorers in the Premier League history, where each nationality can only be featured once. Right?
Okay.
So once a nationality is taken, no other players in that country are eligible, and the next name on the list must be then from a new country.
Ooh.
And each of these players obviously are the highest Premier League goal scorers from their country, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right? So, Top 15 highest scorers in the Premier League history, but each nationality can only be featured once.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to kick things off with you, Marcus Speller.
Sergio Aguero.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Argentina.
Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Ruud van Nistelrooy.
You are kidding.
Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer. That's England gone. Sorry, Marcus.
Robin van Persie.
The Netherlands.
Very good.
The Netherlands.
Very good.
Thierry Henry.
Yeah. Surely. So it's the top 15.
Yeah.
But obviously, if it's a country outside the top 15,
are you falling for this filibuster? Yeah. Okay. Off.
So what if we had France?
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League.
Romelu Lukaku.
Belgium. Very gone. Good.
Dwight York.
Oh, lovely one, Jim. That's a lovely one.
Trinidad and Tobago. Ooh.
Yeah.
All you TNT fans.
Yeah.
Out.
Surely Mo Salah.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Very, very good chance. Egypt are out now.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Portugal are out now.
Yes, they are.
Robbie Keane?
Oh, I like it. Ireland. Nice.
Luis Suarez.
Shame. Mm-hmm. So, Marcus, you won that round.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I thought about Suarez, but I didn't think he'd be in the top 15.
So you know what? I was gonna say Fernando Torres.
I was gonna say Torres.
You'd have had that in the chamber. So I thought I was being clever.
In the chamber.
You should never try to be clever in this game.
You could have had the Ivorian Didier Drogba. The Togolese Emmanuel Adebayor. You could have had Ryan Giggs, Wales. You could have had Sadio Mane for Senegal. Son Heung-min for Korea. And Yakubu.
So there was
Nigeria.
There was no Spaniard in there.
There was no Spaniards in
there. That's what made me think I didn't think Torres.
Oh, and Ryan Giggs for Wales as well.
So yeah, you just said that already.
Right. Okay. All right. Lovely.
Good. That was a good one, though.
Really good. Yeah. Really good.
As soon as you said Van Nistelrooy, I was like, oh, Andy, you've given me an answer there.
So we're on to the third round.
Third round.
And it's an interesting one. You're going to be upset about it, I think.
Oh, good.
Andy, we're going to kick things off with you.
The closest chippies to Old Trafford. I love Lou Macari's fish and chips.
Teams Mike Bassett faced as England manager.
Oh, bloody hellfire. Pissing Nora.
Teams Mike Bassett faced as England manager.
Can I say?
If you were writing Mike Bassett, England manager, who would you have them face off against?
I've never seen this film.
But the way Andy's eyes glazed over, I thought to myself, he knows something here.
He's got something. Just have a think about who you would.
Stop giving him clues.
I'm not giving him clues.
I'm just going to go Germany.
Surely they played Germany.
Didn't play Germany.
No way.
Andy, I'll be honest with you. I wrote down Germany after that apparent clue.
So did I. On that line of thinking, I'm going to go with Scotland.
Do you know what?
Shame.
I think if I
think
can remember
global
this film,
markets, guys.
I think they played Portugal.
I think you're wrong.
We're all back in.
All back in.
I'm trying to remember the film.
Most confusing round. Right, France. One more round. France. They did play France.
Andy, you're on for the victory here.
Where the naked ladies dance.
Australia.
Why not,
Tim?
Indeed.
Why not?
Marcus?
Italy.
Andy Brassel wins.
Congratulations.
I wouldn't have picked myself winning on that one.
Just be proud. One of your rare wins in this game.
Yeah, I suppose.
You won on who Mike Bassett faced as England manager in a fictional film, as many of them are.
Go on, give us the names.
You could add Argentina. That was what I was sort of looking
at. Down.
Belgium, Brazil, Egypt, Mexico, Poland, Romania and Slovenia. So there we go.
Actually quite a cosmopolitan film by the
sounds
of it.
It's a group of death, Andy. It's a group
of
death.
Far too big.
It's a group of death.
Champions League next season.
Well done, Andy. You've deserved that.
Yeah, fun.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network, of course. Join myself, Andy and Jim tomorrow for the mailbag. Do follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram @Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify
as well. The weekend is now officially open, everybody. Get through that gate, get your football on, have a lovely old time. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you, PT.
Goodbye, Mom.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.